Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 21st, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. You haven't been here for a while. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, I was actually traveling at the New Media Expo and NAB show last week. So I didn't make this show.
No, you didn't. And it just felt right to let you have a little bit of time to yourself. And it looked like you were having a great time at both. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, and good to have you. Also, totally awesome to have Kelly Gumont here. How are you, Kelly?
Hi, Jeff. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And I feel like I'm all like full of energy this morning. So I guess that caffeine is kicking in.
There you go.
Yeah. And we have a sponsor this week. That would be Pathfinder 7 from CocoTech. I'm pretty excited about that. We'll be talking about them soon. But before we get to that, let's do maybe this is like a PSA, or maybe it'll be editorializing. I guess we'll find out as we go along. Yesterday, Twitter announced that they're changing how direct messages work. So the way they've previously worked is that you have your contact list, or the people you're following in Twitter, they're following you, and that means you can send direct messages to each other because you are following each other. They changed this so that you can opt in to let people that are not following you send you direct messages.
So I hear what you're saying. I understand exactly what you're saying. I disagree vehemently with the timing of what you're saying when what you're saying has happened. And the reason I disagree vehemently is that about, I'm going to say 6 months ago, maybe it was 3 months, but it's certainly not 3 days or even a month ago, I was able to do this. I turned on the ability in my account. I got an email from Twitter saying, this is a new thing, and if you would like, you can do this. And so I went in and I turned on the ability to let anyone DM me. I treat it like email or text messages. If you know my address, you're welcome to email me. And I'm not necessarily preaching that everyone should do that, but that was how I made my decision. But I made this decision months ago.
Now what I understand is that they did this and then stopped, and now they're doing it again.
Okay.
So maybe they did a test run.
That was going to be my suggestion, was that it was using Dave as a beta for
this.
Got
it.
Yeah, so this time they've got a big blog post, and they're saying, hey, this is what we're doing now. And
isn't that great?
Yeah, well, okay, for some people, this actually is great. Like, let's say you have a business, and you want to have your – or to give your customers really easy access to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So – let anyone direct message you. Because there are some times when you want to send a quick message to a company that sells you something, provides a service, whatever, and for whatever reason, it just shouldn't be public. So you send a direct message.
Right.
Okay, well, now that's really easy to do. For the average person, there's probably no need to turn this feature on, because for those people, eventually you'll probably start getting spammed.
Well, for most people, it's going to not be, you know, casual users aren't going to want the free world to be able to send them the message. I mean, that's where a lot of at reply spam comes from. You know, you tweet and all of a sudden you get 4 replies because somebody's just looking at global timeline and just picking people out of it and start sending them, you know, check out my app or get rich quick, or I saw you in this video. And because I follow enough people, I already get the, you know, oh, I just got 4 direct messages in a row from people who all saw me in a video. I'm pretty sure there's another Twitter hack going around. And then there's people for whom Twitter is a source of harassment, of unwanted contact and threats from people. And so making this something for everybody, to me, the problem with this is that it means I can go whip up a fake account of any kind for any reason and start sending whatever I want to people. And I think that that's a terrible idea. I think they should have some sort of verification mechanism. And I think if I have verified my account that I am who I say I am, then you should let me use this feature willy-nilly. But until then, you know, when the person whose user photo is the egg and their Twitter username looks like they just pounded their hands on the keyboard for 16 characters, then I'm not interested in anything that person has to say.
Sure. And you can, so, yeah, okay. People are making a huge deal out of this, right? I have had this ability, well, for decades, right? It's called email. And yes, email has spam, but I've had this ability on Twitter for months. And I've had it on Facebook for years.
Yeah.
Where I don't limit the people who can direct message me.
Right.
And I think I've gotten one piece of spam on Facebook. I've gotten absolutely none on Twitter. I get that people, that there are folks, and I think certainly you, Kelly, and perhaps even you, Jeff, fall into this category of, I want Twitter to be like it always has been. But that's not in Twitter's best interest. That's not in the growth of Twitter's platform's best interests.
Right. I just think there were better ways to handle this. There's a lot of things that could cause this to be really wrong. And the fact that Twitter has come out and even, you know, when the CEO of the company has to come out and state, we suck at helping people with harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give the free world the opportunity to message anybody that they want to. The only reason that there aren't people with torches and pitchforks in the streets in San Francisco in front of Twitter's headquarters right now is because this is an opt-in feature.
Right.
All right, Kelly,
this isn't something you are stuck with today.
Right. Now, and I thought about this a lot overnight. But, you know, I wrote a piece yesterday saying, yeah, I think it kind of sucks, but it's also opt-in, so for most people, it's not that big of a deal. And I was trying to figure out how would you best handle this, because I see this really as a feature that's a big benefit for businesses.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't there a Twitter for Business account?
And how do you make this work as efficiently as possible? Address all of those customers that really need the feature, but for the rest of us, it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And what I came up with was exactly what they did.
Which
is they set up the feature, so it's just there on all the accounts, but it's off until you intentionally go and turn it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because otherwise, how are they going to be able to tell the difference between the comic book shop down the street that wants to let everyone access them through direct message and the single user guy that has a consulting business.
Right.
And he's using his personal account for this.
I think the best example is a real one. And so I'm going to use either Comcast or JetBlue, right? These are companies that have become synonymous with Twitter customer service, right? Mm-hmm. It's better to get Comcast customer service from via Twitter,
yes,
than it is any other way. And I mean, maybe we could argue with that, but it's certainly a very good way of getting.
I absolutely will not argue with that as a Comcast customer, let me tell you.
Right, right. So they wanted people to be able to get in touch with, or Comcast wanted people to be able to get in touch with them, and they had to go through this whole rigmarole of forwarding or following everyone and in order to get a DM. And now they can just, on the accounts that they want, they can check this box. Anyone can DM them. And I think that's the important part. Anyone, even if you just created a Twitter account, you're having a problem. You know that you've heard people on a podcast talk about how great Comcast Twitter customer service is. And so, or Twitter-based customer service. They're not actually supporting Twitter, but they're right, using Twitter as their vehicle. You've heard about how great it is. So you go, you sign up for a Twitter account. You go, you send Comcast a message. They say, great, DM me your account number. You try to DM them your account number, and oh, you have an egg as a logo, so you can't DM them. So you change and you do the, you make up, take a picture of yourself. And now you try to DM them, and it says, oh, you haven't verified your email 3 days later yet. And so you're like, oh crap, now I got to wait 3 days. I think this is the right way to do this because, again, the people that are receiving it have opted in, and we haven't seen abuse from this yet. It's clear they've been testing this for a while. I was a guinea pig, as it seems. And I haven't seen any horrible abuse. If you see abuse from people on Twitter, you can, you know, especially this type where it's just messages and it's not, you know, life threats or anything. And you're like, oh, I don't like this. You can either turn it off or you can block those people on Twitter. And if somebody gets blocked by enough people, that's actually flagged, and then they'll go and turn off the account. I think they did it the right way. And if 6 months from now, it turns out that letting all the floodgates be open is a problem, well, then Twitter will change it again. I think it's a good thing. I think it's better to err on the side of just let the information flow and then look at where the problems are and stop those without just stopping everyone. That's my feeling.
Yeah,
and, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and since it's opt-in, that's the big thing. People need to remember this is opt-in. Your Twitter direct messages are not an open floodgate as of today. That's however they were set yesterday, last week, last month, last year, that's still how it's set today. So don't expect to suddenly see a bunch of spam direct messages showing up in your Twitter account. And if you need to turn the feature on, you can. Well, I can't yet. Even as of this morning, I still don't have the settings showing up in my security and privacy settings in Twitter.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's just at the bottom and it says... a checkbox, receive direct messages from anyone.
Yeah. It's really simple. Just a little checkbox. Yeah.
That's it.
So once the feature or the setting shows up for me, I'm just going to double check that it's off, because I prefer to keep direct messages as something that's between people that I'm following and that are following me. And then everyone else can just at tweet me. And that's kind of a built-in filtering system for me. So it cuts down on how much I'm having to read in direct messages. And I know that the content that's showing up there is going to be more important to me and have more relevance, because it's a direct communication between me and someone else. And we're both following each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's working fine. So there you go. No need to get completely freaked out about this, because you have to opt in. All right, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Pathfinder 7 from CocoTech, and this is actually really cool. Pathfinder is one of those utilities that I first tried out many years ago, like when it was brand new. So that would have been about 15 years ago, something like that. And I couldn't quite wrap my head around exactly why I needed to use this. But in the last few months, it actually really clicked. See, what it is, it's this Finder add-on substitute sort of thing that runs on your Mac. And it gives you so much more control over the way you work with, organize the files that you have on your computer. And I mean, the Finder is perfectly fine, but this is just it's like if the Finder grew up and had years of life experience and then put those years to good use, it would be Pathfinder 7. I just came up with that, and I kind of like how that sounds. So one of the things that I really like about Pathfinder 7 is that when you have a Pathfinder window open, I mean, it looks pretty much like a regular Finder window, but it has more. And I like having the panels show up at the bottom where I can have very specific things happening in a single window. So like I can have a get info box showing, and then I can have one of the things that I love is that I set up one of the panels to be a terminal window. So I can actually run terminal commands without having to launch terminal or even have another window open. And for me, when I need to run a terminal command, it's typically one of those things where I'm looking at something and I'm like, oh, I need to do this thing right now. And now I don't have to add extra steps because my terminal window is just right there built into the Pathfinder window. I absolutely love that. And it has its own search system as well. So you can do incredibly fast searches that are completely sidestepping Spotlight. And in some cases, you don't want that because there are certain types of things you can do with Spotlight that are really cool. But a lot of times what you need is something that's just like lightning fast for your searches. And that's one of the things that Pathfinder gives you. And I think it's totally cool. So you need to go check this out. So go over to their website. That's cocotech.com/Pathfinder. And then download the app, and you can use it for, I believe, 14 days for free. So you can test it out, make sure it does what you want. After you're done playing with it for a little bit, you're going to want to buy it. So you just should. But you can do that with a discount. So it's regularly $39.95, but if you use the special code TDO, you can get 25% off. So you can pick up Pathfinder 7 for $29.95. And to all of our listeners that have already done that, thank you for doing that, because now you have a really great utility in your hands. But you're also letting Cocotec know that that you appreciate that they're supporting the show so we can be here and make more episodes for you. So anyhow, go over to their website, cocotec.com/Pathfinder, and use a discount code TDO to get 25% off your copy of Pathfinder 7.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right. The other thing I wanted to look at today is a piece that you did yesterday, Kelly. You wrote a really great tip, and it's on how to use locations in Mac OS X. So I thought we could take a quick look at that, and for our listeners, you could help them get up to speed on just what locations can do for them.
So a lot of people, I think, overlook locations because it's in the network control, the network control panel, system preferences.
Old.
Yeah, I know. It's right next to the extension manager. So when you look at the network system preference, you'll see at the top, it generally says location automatic, because most people don't mess with it, and so they don't see anything in there aside from automatic. So you can adjust that for different things. For example, if you use Ethernet, you know, you have a cable of some sort that you plug your computer into when you're home, and then when you take it places, that's the only time you use the Wi-Fi. Then what you may want to do is set up a home location where it looks at the Ethernet first. And then when you're out and about, you can set it up so that it doesn't spend any time checking on the Ethernet port. It just goes immediately to Wi-Fi. Make sure that the Wi-Fi has connectivity and that it's the first place it looks for an internet connection. And the nice thing about doing this is if you set up those locations with your network preferences set up how you want them in each of those locations, then in the Apple menu, all of a sudden you get a locations menu. And from right there, you can switch between them. You don't have to go into system preferences and flip back and forth. So
that's very cool.
To me, this is a super handy thing. And the thing that I like, the reason that I like it is because I occasionally use a USB card for internet access. One of those ones you plug in and it's got the data on it, you know, weird little gizmo.
Oh, yeah.
So I have one of those that I use once in a while. And so I have a location set up for that so that when I'm using that, that's the first place it looks. It doesn't spend a bunch of time looking at the Wi-Fi. And then that way it's easier for me to get the thing to connect because it doesn't spend forever going, well, do you have Wi-Fi? Well, no. Do you have Ethernet? Well, no. Let me look here. Let me look here. Let me look here. Okay. It looks like you have something plugged in here that is going to give you access. So you can change them around to be whatever you want them to be. And the nice thing about using locations is that if you have them set up, then you can also do slightly different things with them. You can build on those locations with other applications. So you can set things up in Keyboard Maestro. If you're somebody that uses Keyboard Maestro to do different things, you can have something set up so that when you switch locations, maybe this app launches or the Wi-Fi turns off or the Wi-Fi turns on. You launch a different program or something. You can, one of the ones that I saw that was I thought was a good example was changing your default browser. So if you have one you use for home and one you use for work, and that's the two places that your Mac is most of the time, you can set up those locations and it'll, you know, change other things for you. And there's an app you can get called Sidekick, and you just tell Sidekick, I want to do this and this and this and this. And then Sidekick goes and sorts it out based on your location. So it goes, okay, right now you're home. And then when you go to the coffee shop, it goes, wait, you're not home. Looks like you're at the coffee shop. Okay, at the coffee shop, I know to do this and this and this. So there's some really handy things that you can do in order to make stuff just a little bit faster for the most part. And if you ever get an error about, like, you know, the Wi-Fi can't find the Wi-Fi throws up a warning that it can't find any networks to join. You're like, I know, I don't care. I have an Ethernet cable right here. it makes it easier to sort of get around some of that stuff.
Now, have you used Control Plane at all, which was the evolution of an app that used to be called Marco Polo? That it does. It sounds like Sidekick is a much easier geolocation specific version of this, mm-hmm. right? But
Control I didn't realize Marco Polo had turned into anything else. I knew about Marco Polo, but it was like last updated in 2007. I didn't keep it in my list.
I think it's a different developer, but I think the code base was actually shared between the two or something happened. But it at the very least, Control Plane was inspired by the both Marco Polo and its demise, right? And but what for those that didn't know Marco Polo or don't know Control Plane, what it lets you do is similar to Sidekick, where you're saying, you know, based on this location, do this. Control Plane lets you do based on any, I mean, not any, but lots of different criteria, do this. Like, my machine just woke up, so do this. Or my, you know, you see a printer. Okay, great. That's a hint that you are, you know, in a certain location. And so if you get enough of these hints and you can kind of set the parameters, then go and do this action. It's UI is actually kind of horrible in that you really need to think of the way the programmer thought about it. And it's not obvious, but once you, it's like anything, once you get your head into it, it works. But
yeah.
Sidekick is the way to start because it sounds way easier.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. And both sound like a great way to bring back the function, or at least a lot of the functionality that we had in Location Manager in OS 9 and earlier, which I loved. I relied on that all the time because I was so mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So
and that's one of the reasons that I like having at least, because they ratcheted a lot of that stuff back. And so the only things that you can change are like the network order. And what you're, you know, what exists in the network control panel right now with locations, which is a bummer. But that's the reason I always have locations, is because even having the ability to change that is super handy. So, you know, if you're somebody like us, like Dave, who recently was traveling, and Jeff, who travels a lot, and me, and, you know, I go some places. If you're us, it's really nice to have the opportunity to, you know I'm relying on my air card or my personal hotspot or whatever the whole time I'm going to be doing this. So I just don't even need the Wi-Fi to be on, you know, and looking for a network and trying to tell me it wants to join something. And so having the opportunity to flip that stuff and not have to actually think about the 9 things that actually change every time I flip locations is super handy. And using something like Sidekick just makes it even easier because you can add other actions based on that, those locations changing.
Which is awesome. So I'll have a link to Kelly's tip so that you can find Sidekick. And then I'll make sure we have a link to Control Plane as well so you can check that out. We're out of time. Kelly, thank you for writing up that tip and for being here today.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And Dave, thank you for being here and bringing your awesome perspective as always.
My pleasure. It's fun.
Yeah. And CocoTech, thank you for being our sponsor. Head on over to their website, cocotech.com/Pathfinder. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself 25% off Pathfinder 7. And listeners, thank you for joining us yet again today. We'll see you tomorrow.